All right, well, if you got your Bible, it's still page one in my Bible. But we're in Genesis chapter 2, and the topic tonight is the Sabbath. So God has created for 6 days, beginning on the first day. We're not going to walk through them, I don't have time, but he created. We've talked about it last Sunday and last Wednesday, how in 6 24-hour periods, God spoke the world into existence. Some days he was creating bara, he was making things out of nothing. Other days he was separating the things that he had previously made, but God was speaking the world into existence. And what's fascinating in Genesis chapter 2 is he rested after those 6 days. And the question then would be like, wow, does God need to rest? Does God get tired? Well, the Bible tells us clearly God never slumbers or sleeps. God doesn't get weary or worn out. He doesn't fret or is concerned about any of that. In his omnipotence, God is all-powerful. And so there's something here that's significant about this Sabbath, this example that God is setting forth for us in his creation. He took a day after he'd worked for 6 days. He took another 24-hour period, and he did not do anything. And it's very significant that God would do this, because he's setting that as an example for you and I in our life. There was a man, you may not even recognize his name, but as I may talk a little more about him, you may remember hearing some things. His name's Eric Liddell. Anybody heard of the name Eric Liddell? Eric Liddell was called the Flying Scotsman. He was born in 1902. His parents were missionaries in northern China, Scottish missionaries in northern China. He was raised in a missionary family, but I'm telling you, that boy could run. He had some wheels on him, and he ran everywhere he went, and really got good at running, but he surrendered his life to a missionary. In fact, in 1945, Eric Liddell died in northern China, and his name is mentioned with some of the names that you're more familiar with: Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, Jim Elliot, we talked about a few weeks ago, Corey Ten Boom, Lottie Moon. Those are the missionaries that Eric Liddell, that's the group of missionaries. When you hear names, you hear Eric Liddell's name in that. Well, most people in America don't, when they hear Eric Liddell, they don't think about him as a missionary. In fact, most people don't even really think about him as a runner, yet he was a very successful athlete. In the 1924 Olympics in Paris, Eric Liddell won a bronze medal in the 200 meters, and he won a gold medal in the 400 meters. But most people don't know about Eric Liddell as the athlete. They don't know him as the missionary. They don't recognize his name as athlete. But what they do remember about Eric Liddell is not what he did, but what he decided not to do. There was a movie in 1981 called Chariots of Fire. Y'all remember that movie? That's the story of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell, in those Paris games in 1924, there was a heat. The 100-meter heat was scheduled to be raced on Sunday. And Eric Liddell, who is a devoted Christian, decided that he would not compromise, though the 100 meters was his race. That was the one that he was going to win and win by a long shot. But he decided, because it was on Sunday, he would not race. He was the first Chick-fil-A. Hello? He decided, I'm not doing this on Sunday. And the whole world fell apart when they heard this. I cannot believe he's trained. He's gotten ready. This is his race. And yet when it came down and everything worked out, his heat was for Sunday morning. And he said, I'm not going to compromise a commitment that I have made to rest on the Lord's day. Isn't that powerful? Now, in 1981, I was growing up here in Halton. 1981 was different when Chariots of Fire came out. I remember in 1981 as a young boy that there were stores that were closed around, not just Chick-fil-A. There were stores you couldn't go shopping in because it was Sunday. In fact, even if those stores were open, there's certain things you couldn't buy because it was Sunday. I grew up in those houses, in that home where they were buying that stuff. And they had to stock up on Saturday because they couldn't buy beer on Sunday. And that was here where we grew up. That was in 1981. Now, isn't it crazy now to think about that we grew up or we lived in a society where the nation as a whole saw that day, the Lord's Day, as a day that was significant. And now we've moved so far. In fact, us as the church, we really don't want people or businesses to be convicted about that day anymore, because then it gets in the middle of our issues. You know, we want to leave church and go eat somewhere, so we don't want the restaurant owners to be convicted of that Sunday, because we want, or we don't want the football teams. You know, could you imagine if the football teams decided they're not going to play on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day? Well, what are we going to do after church when we get up from our nap, right? What are we going to, we're going to watch the last round of the golf matches because they wouldn't be playing. And so we don't want to be inconvenienced by people who have convictions on the Lord's Day now, but we're living in a time where it is so far removed to even think about that. So in Genesis chapter 2, when the Lord rested, now I'm using Sunday as the reference. The Sabbath is not Sunday. The Jewish Sabbath is Saturday. He began creating on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, and he created 6 days through Friday, and he rested on Saturday, which was a Sabbath. So let's read this, and then I got a lot that I want to share with you. And so I hope you got your pen out, and we're going to go through several different verses about the Sabbath. And so look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Now, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before the herb of the field had grown, the Lord God had caused it to rain, had not caused it to rain on the earth. There was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth to water the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He took what had already been made, and he made, and we're going to talk more about this Sunday. This is getting into Sunday's message. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And so Moses is recapping how he's created. He created this already. He's showing us that in all of his creation, God rested on the Sabbath day. So I want you to write this. Let's examine the Sabbath. I want us to have an examination of the Sabbath, because it's kind of removed from us as far as the Saturday being the Sabbath, the holy day. What is Sabbath? Well, the word Sabbath literally means rest. If you got to go to Israel with me, if you've already been or you're going to go in the future, you will notice on Saturday, actually sundown, 6 p.m. on Friday, we'll begin the Sabbath there in Israel to 6 p.m. on Saturday evening, and everything shuts down. There's just people aren't around. They're staying in. They rest. There's even a Sabbath elevator in the hotels. And so you just push one button. You don't have to push anything. It stops at every floor, the Sabbat Hotel, because you don't have to work to push a button. You just get in, the door closes, and then if you're at the 16th floor, you're stopping 16 times before you get there. So they don't want the elevator to work. They don't want you to have to work and push the button. And so they've taken very seriously, and we would say probably legalistically, the Sabbath, right? And so, but what does it mean? What does Sabbath mean? Sabbath means to rest. You've worked all week long, and now it's time to rest. If you look at Exodus. Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, and let's see where God told Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. And one of those Ten Commandments was concerning the Sabbath. And so under this examination of the Sabbath, I want you to realize that the Sabbath is commanded of us. But you might say, because, you know, we're not Jewish, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I got a question for you. Why is this one the only one we balk at? We go through the list. The other nine commandments, you're not to have any other gods before me. We agree with that, right? You're not to have any idols. We agree with that. We would say yes to that. Not to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not to murder. You're not to commit adultery. You're not to steal. You're not to lie. You're not to covet your neighbor's things. All the other nine, we would all agree, yes, 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 yes. But when it says keep the Sabbath holy, the fourth one in the list, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, listen, or your cattle, or your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so he set it aside, and he commands his children to keep it holy. And I'll tell you, it's a principle in tithing. And tithing is something that, when Christ gets a hold of our heart and our life, he gets a hold of everything. Tithing becomes an act of worship for us as believers. And I will tell you this, if you and your family have never made a commitment to tithe your income, your resources, I will tell you this, from our own personal life, we do far better on 90% than we ever would on 100%, okay? Now, if that is true in the principle of tithing, watch this. You will be more productive in 6 days of work than you ever would be in seven. Why? Because God will bless the six just like he blesses the 90. And so it's a principle that we place into our lives. I meet people all the time who are trying to do everything they can to work their way up the ladder to achieve so that they can put away, so that they can save. And they'll say, well, preacher, I'm just going to do this for a season. I've got to work. The kids got to go to school. I've got to do all of this. I've got to provide for my family. And the reality is they neglect what God set standard for them and a principle for us as we follow. Where's the commitment to Christ? And so he says, first of all, Sabbath, it's commanded of us. It's not something that is a suggestion. It's part of the Ten Commandments. Now turn to Exodus chapter 31 to keep going to the right. You're in Exodus 20, go to Exodus 31. And look at this. This is cool. The Sabbath as a witness. And starting in verse 14, he says, you shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Do you know that there's three commandments of the ten that come with a death penalty? You're going to love this. Adultery is one that comes with a death penalty. You remember the Pharisees bringing the adulterous woman to the Lord Jesus in John chapter 9, and they or 8, and they bring her there, and they said the Bible, the words of the law tells us that she was caught in the very act of adultery, that she should die. For when you think, well, that's harsh. Well, adultery carried with it a death penalty. In fact, that's where Joseph was really contemplated. He could have had Mary killed, stoned, because she became pregnant during their betrothal period, and it would have been an obvious adulterous relationship. And so even Joseph, the angel came to Joseph and said, listen, don't put her away. Don't do anything. This is of the Lord. And so we see this in adultery. You know what another one is? Disobeying your parents, not honoring your father and mother. It comes with a death penalty. Listen, if you got kids or grandkids, throw that one out on them, huh? Hey, you should all be lucky I ain't stoned you yet, all right? You know what the third one is? Keeping the Sabbath holy. We just read it. That if someone profanes the Sabbath, they shall surely die. And we're going to read another story that they killed a man for not keeping the Sabbath. But how does this practical? Because we're not stoning adulterers anymore. We're not stoning disobedient children. Obviously, we're not stoning individuals who don't honor and keep the Sabbath. Well, where has this become practical in our life? I wonder how much time is being removed from our life the more we work. What is God? We're going to see this. God keeps track of those things. What days are we removing from our life as we prioritize achieving and working and gathering things all 7 days of our life and neglecting the thing that God has set up for us to honor? He says it twice in this passage that they shall surely die. But I want you to see this. Check out verse 16, Exodus 31, 16. He said, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign, a witness between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, watch this, and was refreshed. What does that mean? God worked for 6 days, he created for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That word refresh in the Hebrew literally means to exhale. You ever say, man, you work so hard, I got to take a breath. I got to take a breath. God spoke 6 days creating. That's what we looked at. And God said, let there be. God said, let there be. God was speaking. And on the last day, he took dirt and he blew breath into that dirt, and he made man out of the breath, out of his breath, and out of that dirt. And then on the very next day, he was breathing. On the very last day, seventh day, he went. He inhaled and exhaled. He took a breath. That's what refreshed means. And so in this, we see that Sabbath is a witness. He says that you're as a sign. The people in this world will see that there's something different. When you think about the children of Israel's life, there was the covenant relationship that they had with God, with Yahweh, was symbolized in physical things. They ate differently. They did differently than the rest of the peoples of the world. And when business transactions were beginning between the nation of Israel, Jewish people, and other nations and peoples of the world, then they would come and say, hey, listen, can't meet you today. I'll be in town. They'd send an email, a text. I can't be in town. I'll meet you Saturday. No, I can't meet on Saturday. Well, why can't you meet on Saturday? Well, it's the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? Never heard of the Sabbath. Well, yeah, that's where God created for 6 days, and then he rests. That's the story of creation. I never heard that. And God said, listen, this can be one of the greatest opportunities to communicate who he is to the watching, unknown, unsaved world around you. He said, use the Sabbath as a sign. It can be a sign between you and I as the covenant that we have, and let the world see that you're different and that I love you and that I have a relationship with you. Well, turn your Bible to Numbers chapter 15. Take a right. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, verse 15, or chapter 15. Look at verse 32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. But is that true? No, it had been explained what to be done. They didn't want to do it. They wanted Moses and Aaron to be the one who would do that. And so they grab him and they take this guy. I mean, this is a hardened criminal, right? I mean, this guy was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And so other friends of his saw him, gathered him up, took him to Aaron and Moses. In verse 35 it says, then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. That's hard, ain't it? Guy's picking up his yard. Guy on Saturday is picking up sticks, and he broke a commandment that came with a death penalty. What's all this about? I want you to know this. God's serious about this. And we kind of look at it as not important or something that we would overlook. And God shows us how serious this is. And working the way some of us work, it carries with us a death penalty. Hypertension. Anxiety, stress, carrying around the pressure of a 7-day work week. And I know what people say, I hear it often, well, what if there's an emergency? Well, Jesus said, listen, if your ox is in the ditch, you go get your ox out of the ditch. There's concessions made, but on the ordinary week, you and I should take a day and rest. What does that even look like? Does it mean that we lay around the house? Does it mean that we don't do anything? It means you don't do anything from work. My wife and I have this discussion a lot. I'll tell you, Bossier Parish school system is an incredible place to work, but they don't pay principals enough money. They don't pay teachers enough money to put up with what they got to put up with. My wife and I answer an email every day, all day long. She gets emails all day long. We'll be at the dinner table. She'll be getting an email, one that she has to answer. Some teacher is sick, and she's got to get a sub, or something has happened, and this parent needs to know this. And it's constant. There has to be a day in that week that she doesn't do anything related to Bossier Parish Schools. There has to be a day in my week that I don't do anything related to First Baptist Halton. There has to be a day. It doesn't mean that I lay around. If I want to go play golf, if I want to go hunting, if I even want to work in the yard, it's my day. It's my day that I don't do anything that I get paid to do. And so it's not necessarily that we just lay around and do nothing, but it's that we don't do anything that is our work, our job-related work. And so we can get dogmatic in this, and legalistic, but the important thing is for our own physical health, God gave us the Sabbath to bless us. He gave us a day and he modeled it for us. Everything important God modeled for us, right? Baptism is very important. A lot of times we don't think it's that important. It's just going upstairs and getting wet in that pool in front of people. And even as an adult, you may say, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Why do I need to do that? It doesn't hinge my eternity. It's not anything that's going to keep me out of heaven. Why do I do that? It's obedience. And Jesus modeled it for us. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. John was baptizing people in the Jordan River for the remission of their sins. Can you imagine this picture that John the Baptist is standing there at the Jordan River and people are coming up to him and he says, Mary, he said, what's your name? My name's Mary. What's your sin? I'm an adulterer. Mary the adulterer, and he baptizes her under the water and she goes, what's your name, sir? My name's John. John, what have you done? I'm a thief. I've stolen tax money from people. John the thief, he's getting baptized. He baptized him in remission of sin. What's your name, sir? Jesus. Jesus, what's your sin? I don't have any sin. Why are you here? He didn't get baptized because he was removing his sin. He got baptized to show you and I how important baptism was. God didn't do the Sabbath. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he got tired. He rested on the seventh day to be an example to you and I how important the Sabbath is for us. He did it as an example to show us that we need it, we need rest, we need time for our mind to take a break, for our bodies to take breaks, and for the stress of our work to be off of us, but he did it for a blessing for us. And it comes with rewards. You know, in Daniel, we realize something, that God keeps track of Sabbaths that aren't taken. And they're accounted. Sabbaths that are neglected are accounted for in heaven. And I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles and look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. You're going to remember some of this. We just got out of Daniel. Daniel, I don't have time to recap you, but Daniel and his friends were in Jerusalem, and God had risen up the pagan nation of the Babylonians. They come in, and they remove the children of Israel out of Jerusalem, and they're exiled. They're removed from the land that God had given them. You remember how many years Daniel was there? When he got there, he was a teenage boy, and when he finishes writing his book, he's in his 90s. Do you remember how many years? We just studied this. How many years was he there? 70 years. Anything significant to why he was there for 70 years? We talked about this. Well, look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 20. He said, and those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Why were they there 70 years? Because for 490 years, they had neglected the Sabbath. Not their own personal Sabbath, but the seventh year Sabbath of the land. And so God said, listen, I've set this example up for you. You're going to work better. You're going to live better. You're going to have a brighter thought. You're going to be blessed by a Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath, but the land has to rest the seventh year. So for 6 years, you plow it, you plant it, you harvest it for 6 years, and then you gather what you need on the sixth year for the seventh year, and you let the land rest the seventh year. And the children of Israel for 490 years, you know what they did? On year seven, they planted, they plowed, they planted, and they harvested year seven. Year 14, what did they do? They did the exact same thing. Year 21, the exact same thing. 28, all the way. They just kept plowing and planting, and they worked the seventh year just like it was the sixth year, and God was keeping score every one of those years for 400. Don't you think if you've done something for 490 years, you got away with it? Maybe that's a message to our nation, that we think, hey, we got away with something. But for 490 years, God's putting hash marks every time a 7 year comes. And the children of Israel neglect the Sabbath. God had given them this land. It was their promised land. And God gave that land with conditions. And they neglected it. And so he removed them from the land that he had given them so that the land could fulfill those Sabbaths. And it sat for 70 years. And it wasn't plowed. And it wasn't planted, and it wasn't harvested for 70 years because Sabbaths are important. I love verse 20. or verse 21. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 36. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. So the land could enjoy her Sabbaths. So that's the examination of a Sabbath. That's just kind of going through some Old Testament stuff. It's important. It's serious. It can be a witness to us. He's keeping track of those things. It's a commandment for us to follow. Well, let's look here, because I mentioned Sunday early on. So let's look at the transformation of the Sabbath. So something happened that moved. For the Jews, they still honor Saturday. It's the last day of the week. But something significant happened the first day of the week, and it shifted a day for us. And us as believers, we acknowledge, we look to Sunday as our holy day, and it all revolves around the resurrection. In fact, after Christ was resurrected, early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, all the gospel writers tell us this, the believers began meeting. Now, they would meet every day. They would gather for Bible study. They would gather for prayer. They would have fellowship. They would go door to door. You read the book of Acts. Church looked a lot different in the first century than it does today. But because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, in Mark chapter 16, after the resurrection, the disciples gathered in the upper room. Verse 11 of Mark 16 says they gathered on the first day of the week. They were celebrating already the resurrection. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says that Paul preached to the church, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. And they oftentimes in the book of Acts called it the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it says that collections were to be taken, and those were taken on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. In Revelation 1, 10, when John is on exile to the island of Patmos, the whole book of the Revelation begins as Jesus is revealing to John what will take place after that. Guess when that happens? On the first day of the week. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And so there seems to be this transformation of the Sabbath, or a holy day, or the Lord's Day. It's transformed from a shadow to substance. Sabbath, prior to the resurrection, Saturday was a shadow of what was coming. But when Jesus was resurrected, we got the substance of what they were looking for. And so there was this transformation in worship, when they would worship, and what they would hold as dear and holy. The examination of the Sabbath, the transformation of the Sabbath. And so here's the deal. This is what I want you to leave with. My goal anytime we gather together is I want to teach you the Bible. I want to walk through the Word with you. But I don't want to just make you smarter, disobedient children. Right? You can have all the answers and still be disobedient. You can know, you can win at Bible quiz. That's not the goal. I don't want to just make you have more knowledge about the Word. That the goal for our life is to apply the Word to our life. And so what's the application of the Sabbath for us? What's the whole purpose of this? How do I practically apply this into my weekly routine? I'll just be honest with you. Sunday's hard to be a rest day for me. Most Saturday nights, whoever's at the house, I say, look, y'all can stay up as long as y'all want. I got to go to bed. I work in the morning. And, of course, most kids around here think it's the only day I work. All right? Sunday. Sunday can't be my Sabbath. Sunday is part of what God's called me to do. And so there has to be a day when I do everything I can to protect a day where I don't do anything related to First Baptist Halton. You have to find a day for you. I mean, we see Sabbath and Saturday in the Old Testament. We see the Lord's Day and Sunday. But I don't think we have to get so legalistic to say that it has to be on this day or has to be on that day. The main thing is that you and I need to take a day. The application and the practical part of this is that it comes with reward and it comes with blessing when you and I realize that God created it for you. He didn't create you for it. And that's what Jesus said in Mark when they asked him about the Sabbath. And he said, the Sabbath, we were created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for us. We weren't created for the Sabbath. And so reality is God did this to benefit and bless us. And so I want to challenge you, especially you who are still working, pick a day where you're not going to do anything. You can spend time doing what you enjoy, but here's the deal. God's keeping track because he did it in the children of Israel. You've gotten away with it long enough. God's keeping track. And it's serious because when we give our life to our work will take our life. And so you and I have to have a day when we step aside and we spend time resting. He showed us how to do that. He was an example for us. And so that's my challenge for you tonight. If you haven't done well with this, some of you may have like you may be retired. Every day may be a Sabbath for you. Amen. That's good. Listen, we're longing for that day, all of us, right? But those of you who are still laboring and working, it's very, very important. I'm going to tell a quick story, and I got 1 minute. I've told this before on Wednesday night. Jerry Brandon and I have been friends since we were little. Jerry and Kristen are in our church. Jerry works for AT&T, which was Bell South, and Jerry had an older guy that he had worked with for years, and the guy was retiring, and they had a retirement party for him, and this was after Lawson had already died in 2010, and so Jerry went to this guy's retirement party, and they made a big deal about this guy. They said, this guy never took a sick day. I don't remember how many years it was, over 30 years. Never took a sick day, and this guy never took vacation. He had perfect attendance the entire time he worked at AT&T. And for perfect attendance at work, AT&T gave him a watch. He got his watch, and he walked by Jerry, and he said, Jerry, if I could give you one bit of advice, take every day they give you. Don't do all of this for this. It's not that important. And so you and I have to realize our mental health. We really have four areas that can deplete in our life rather quickly. We can deplete mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We leak in all four of those areas. And the more we give and the more we do, the lower those tanks go, the lower those levels go in our life. And the only way to fill those is to rest. The only way to be filled emotionally and physically, spiritually in our life, mentally, is to take time. God wired you to do that. And I want to encourage you to do that. All right? All right, well, let's pray together. I'm 2 minutes over. God, thank you for your word. It's true. God, I thank you, Lord, that when we dig into your word, you teach us how to live our life here on this earth. And things that we neglect, God, really because our culture has neglected it. God, it's just become easy to neglect. And I pray Father, that we would not cherry pick the things that we believe and the things that we apply into our life, but Lord, we'd go all in our walk with you. And God, I pray tonight, Father, that in this area of rest, in this area of Sabbath, God, I pray for everybody that's in this room or everybody who may be watching on Facebook or wherever, God, that we would take serious resting. We would take serious Sabbath. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would restore us and fill us so that we can serve you better and even more fully than we ever have before. God, we love you. Use us as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.